With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
Welcome back to another episode of the Podcastianos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who is multi-talented in his own right. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I'm strong, feeling vibrant, educated. I have a passion for knowledge and communication tonight.
So obviously last week was our 69th episode. Is there a little bit of a letdown this week after such a nice episode last week?
Yeah, it's a little less nice. What are you going to do?
I appreciate all of the nice tweets that we got about last week's show. You guys out there are far too kind to us. So I bring up the multi-talented thing because if you're aware of things going on in baseball outside of Detroit, you'll notice that something spectacular is going on in this young season. Shohei Ohtani has put together possibly the most remarkable opening 2 weeks in baseball history.
Whispers of another player who rarely gets compared, and that is one Babe Ruth. You have to do something pretty special to get Babe Ruth comparisons, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So here are the numbers. 389 over his first 18 at-bats with three homers. And then just casually, he's 2-0 on the hill with 18 strikeouts in 13 innings. Including taking a perfect game through 6 1/3. And he has accounted for almost a full wins above replacement after
already
2 weeks in this. I mean, I think it's like 0.8 something, but we're two weeks into the season.
Are you suggesting that by his performance and by comparing his spring training statistics, maybe spring training doesn't matter all that much?
Yeah, it's almost like that's the case. Your boy Mike Fiers obviously was proving that to be true also. But yeah, it makes you wonder, like, did he use that kind of like a AAA, you know, tune up to get ready for the season, you know, get accustomed to big league hitters or what? But I like the idea that it was a misdirection, that he was purposefully
hustling them.
Yeah.
Like a pool hustler.
Yeah, I like that idea.
That'd be great.
And obviously, like you said, they've been comparing him to Babe Ruth. Honestly, I think obviously Babe Ruth did this over a career, and that is clearly more difficult. But if he continues at even most of this pace, it is entirely more impressive than what Babe did, considering, you know, who knows exactly what kind of cheddar those guys were humming back in the, you know, early 20s.
It's a different era. I mean, before training and diet and performance enhancing and year-long athletic pursuits. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Babe Ruth pretty much pitch for a significant period of the beginning of his career and then pretty much focus exclusively on hitting? I don't know if there's been any ball player to do both successfully simultaneously over an extended period of time, have they?
I really don't think so.
I can't think of any.
I'd be very curious to see what his day-to-day routine looks like as far as, you know, because the preparations are very different. When I pitched at Adrian, we had a kid that pitched and hit, and he essentially, when he was pitching, he showed up and he pitched. And other than that, he did everything with the hitters.
Right. Now, I don't want to criticize your college career, but we're talking about a slightly different level.
Slightly different level, yes.
I mean, in pro ball, these guys, the you can't just show up every fifth day and pitch, can you? I mean, they have their routines pattern, and this is a bullpen day, and this is a stretch day, and this is a lift weights day, and whatever. They're kind of regimented.
And I think it's really interesting that the Angels are using the six-man rotation to accommodate him. I think that's really smart. I think that'll pay off. The one thing I worry about him a little bit, and, you know, he doesn't play for the Tigers, so I'm not that worried about him. But I worry if he becomes, you know, a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none. Like, if he had dedicated himself solely to either of them, would he be, you know, one of the all-time greats at either? But obviously, you know, doing both is amazing, kind of in its own,
that's
right.
Specializing is a ton less interesting and exciting. We're talking about him today, not because he hit 389 with three home runs, and we wouldn't really be talking about him with two wins and the strikeouts. We're talking about him because he did both. I mean, that's it's just extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder, this is just the direction my brain works, if all of a sudden we're going to see a lot more guys trying it. I would like to see. I think it's really interesting. There's, you know, Brendan McKay from the Rays organization did both at, I want to say, Louisville in college. And I haven't monitored exactly what the Rays have done with him. I'm sure they'll make him into a great pitcher. It tends to be what they do.
Who's the guy that Diamondbacks had? Mike Owings?
Yep.
Yeah. They kind of used him a little bit. How about our boy Anthony Ghost?
I feel like it's a stretch to call him either a hitter or a pitcher, but he did try and take part in both activities.
I mean, that's a recent example of somebody who's switched over, but he made the switch. I mean, yeah, he was going to still hit a little bit and could be a pinch runner and, you know, play some outfield for you. But I mean, he wanted to be a pitcher because his hitting was not so much.
Yeah. And obviously all you guys are, all the listeners are yelling at me, Hunter Green, you know, the guy that the Reds just drafted. Oh. He did both in high school. I believe they're making him into a starting pitcher. But anyway, brings us this week's leadoff question. Who from the Tigers, past, present, or future, would you most like to get a chance to see try and do both regularly? And this isn't like a one-time mound appearance or an at-bat,
right.
Like consistently do that.
Well, I think I'll give you two, and I'll give you the popular answer, and I'll give you the correct answer.
Okay.
All right. The popular answer would have been a guy like Brandon Inch.
Okay, well, there goes my choice. I'll think of another one.
Okay, I'll skip right to – you can elaborate on Brandon, and I'll skip to the correct answer.
Okay.
And the correct answer is probably somebody you have forgotten about. And that is Dontrell Willis.
Oh, yes, I have. That's a great one.
Dontrell Willis was a terrific hitter. And when it became more clear that he was struggling on the mound, there were cries from everywhere around baseball saying, let the guy hit. He was a good hitter, but he never really wanted to. Like, his heart wasn't in it. He was just a good hitter, but he didn't fancy himself a hitter or didn't think of himself in that way. But he could certainly do it. He'd hit bombs. And I think there might have been times where he pinch hit. I'm not sure, but when
for Miami, you know, when he could hit for other pitchers, yeah,
right. So I think that would have been the right answer, especially towards the end of his career and he's struggling. Get your mind off the, you know, control issues. Here, we're going to work on letting you hit some. I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, I think it would have taken some of the mental pressure off him. I mean, I think he faded because essentially he cracked, you know, from the mental pressure of being a pitcher. Yeah, I went with Brandon. You know, from a pitching perspective, you like a guy who has, you know, that athleticism. And obviously Brandon was about as athletic as it got from an infielder. You know, had a great arm. The other one I thought of, I don't know exactly why this came to mind, but I really would have liked to have seen Joel Zumaya get at bats. I feel like that could have worked. Obviously, it works easier with a starting pitcher, but...
Do you have any reason to believe at all, besides your desire, that
Oh no,
to Mike.
No, not in the slightest. That was. I to be fair, I prefaced it that way. I don't know exactly.
No factual information. Just desire.
I think that could have worked out well. So if you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter at JordanHall23, at Comeric Eric, and at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And we have one more review. Are you ready for this?
It's good.
It is good. It's from Green Man G, 5 stars, and he says, good job. I've been a Tigers fan for almost 10 years now, and this is my favorite Tigers podcast out there. Keep up the good work, guys.
Short, sweet, to the point, and affirming, which fuels our egos.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Eric, I don't know if you remember this, but for the entirety of spring training and then our hot takes season preview episode, and then again last week, you know, after opening day, we were fairly pessimistic, would you say, about the season. But it appears that we were completely wrong because this team is awesome. When I was preparing this, we were a half game out of first place. We may be a full game or further out at this point. But this hasn't been the disaster we were preparing for.
Well, if you wanted to put an optimistic flavored spin on it and said, you know, we could have, would have, should have won opening day. We lost 2 1-0 games, which we could have won one of those. I mean, if you wrap that all up into a package, you say, wow, I mean, that's pretty good. And aside from just record or potential record, I think at least you can say this team is interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think at best you can say they're kind of fun to watch. They're I don't want to say crazy fun to watch, but they're interesting, wouldn't you say?
I would definitely say that, especially when you compare at least the last couple months of the season last year, but I would even go as far as say the full season and maybe the season before that. It was a tough to palate brand of baseball that we were playing. You had guys who, in my opinion, were tough to root for, that didn't exactly appear bothered kind of one way or the other. And the ones that were bothered kind of in the most abrasive way possible. Not specifically talking about Ian Kinsler there at all. Yeah, this is baseball that even if we're not very good, I could watch for 162 games this year.
There's a lot of psychology involved here, too. I mean, psychologists who study happiness talk a lot about comparison set. And humans are shown to be very, like, loss adverse compared to, like, what they expect. And so there's a whole different psychology involved in the previous years where you think you are going to win the division or you think you have a chance at a wild card and it turns out to be kind of mediocre and it all just feels lousy. But when you are expecting to have the worst or second to worst, I mean, Zips had us second to last, just ahead of the Marlins in an expected record. And if you go 500, you feel kind of puffed up, you know, all that's exceeding expectations or that's kind of feels good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a little hard to take anything from, you know, the first 2 weeks have been kind of wonky. You've had some weather issues.
Right, a lot of bad weather.
A lot of scheduling issues. But are you any more optimistic about the rest of the season now than you were even a week ago?
My heart wants to say yes. I feel it. It's warm with the power of the English D. My brain says no, no. The expectations are right where they have been, should be. And, you know, a few bright spots shouldn't change the fact.
No, like you say, with the optimism part, I believe that is – or not the – the enjoyment. I anticipate enjoying the season more today than I would have anticipated a week ago.
Okay.
And, you know,
results aside, it's
I don't necessarily know that I think that we're going to finish, you know, greatly above where I had expected us, you know, a week ago. But I think this could be a fun season. Do you think that the rough weather has kind of played in our favor?
I think so. I mean, you saw it today for a while for Liriano. I don't know how much of the game you were able to catch a few hours ago, but I mean, I think there were four or five almost warning track shots, and those could have been out. And in Chicago too, in that park, I always feel like the ball carries there, and there's a lot of home runs there. And we didn't allow any home runs to the White Sox.
We also were very negative to the idea of hitting them ourselves, of course.
Yeah, well, that gets to the weather. I think the weather has played to our favor a little bit. It's like two Big Ten or teams or NFC North teams, and the weather, you know, grinding it out with a ground game is kind of what we've been experiencing.
Yeah. We talked when we were texting a little bit about the resiliency of the Tigers, you know, the come from behind game against the White Sox, even opening day. Obviously they ended up blowing it, but that was a big time comeback. How do you think the difference in character between Gardenhire and Brad plays into that? Like, I genuinely believe that when they looked at Ausmus versus looking at Gardenhire, they see more faith and more.
Oh, come on.
I genuinely believe that. I think there is something to the psychology.
I believe you do. I believe you genuinely believe that. And I also believe it's bunk.
I think
it's absolute bunk.
I think, like, tell me that when we fell behind, Brad didn't just, you know, mentally shut up shop and give off a persona that was happening.
I don't know. I don't know if that factors into it really at all. You're going to tell me these professional baseball players are going to themselves more and try harder because of a white goateed man than a surfer man.
I mean,
the guy standing there.
We're talking marginal gains, but I think there is just a little bit there. So obviously there are still some issues to work through that are concerning, namely us getting shut out three times. But I think that we should only touch on the positive this week. Like, there'll be plenty of time for moaning this season. But just like I tweeted after the Manchester Derby on Saturday, sports are all about moments. And right now, I mean, being shut out tonight aside, we're in a fairly decent moment. So let's just run down the happy stuff. You good with that?
Yeah, and I'm also happy with your pronunciation of Derby instead of Derby.
Yeah, I speak British more than I speak, you know, American. It drives Whitney crazy.
You've done it very well.
Thank you. So let's start with a guy we were both cautiously optimistic about coming into the year, and that is Dixon Machado.
Yeah.
All the dude does is hit doubles. He's currently tied for second in baseball in doubles with six.
And it's not even fluky. He's not dropping little twins hits down the line. These are power shots. I saw somewhere he's on the front page of the listing for, you know, highest, you know, exit velocity. Right?
Wow.
Dixon Machado. His approach at the plate is good. He's not getting fooled. He's blasting it.
This is going to sound like blasphemy, but you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of prime Placido Polanco, kind of that a very similar style. He commands the strike zone well. Obviously Polanco, I feel like, went for a few more, you know, actual homers, but he was mostly a doubles hitter. But yeah, all of these doubles from Dixon, I feel like, have either come close to you know, banging off the wall or one hop the fence. Like you said, there's absolutely nothing fluky about it.
Right. Polanco's bat to ball skills were like super good. Like, you could not strike the dude out, and Machado's not there, but his eye is terrific. Do you think he had a little bit of the Aaron Rodgers situation where he spent a whole year holding a clipboard on the bench, that backup quarterback, the year of grooming at the big league level on the bench, and now he's like ready?
I mean, there is something to that, I believe. I was actually really curious how you were going to compare Aaron Rodgers and Dixon Machado, but that actually makes sense.
You know, kind of the understudy, you hold the clipboard for a year. You're not a rookie, just gets thrown in. Because we didn't use him much at all last year.
No, it was borderline a redshirt year. No, I buy that.
Yeah, exactly, redshirt.
And, you know, he also is 26 now. This is a time when guys typically kind of start coming into their own. I think that you know, he showed a little bit of extra base pop in the minors, and now he's, you know, been able to take that into the games at the big league level.
I remember the first spring training game I saw him in, strolling up to the plate, and I'm like, where's the rest of the guy? I mean, he was narrow. He was thin. And I'm just like, this, how's this guy going to hit? He looks just like super skinny, and he's kind of filled out. He's gotten older. So, you know, I'm just not used to, you know, skinny people filling out. I just come from a world where you're big and you stay big forever.
How do you feel about him as kind of a franchise cornerstone? I feel like the roster is fairly devoid of them. But here's the thing. You need somebody that's decent to hit number nine. Like, every team needs a nine hitter. Having a good nine hitter is an advantage. Having somebody who is a plus defender at second base is an advantage. And I think
that's an important point.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe cornerstone's a little bit too much. But you can win with Dixon Machado as your second baseman and number nine hitter.
Second baseman, if you have a quality big league average second baseman who can play you some defense, that's a piece that continues to play. You can't do that with a mediocre third baseman or a mediocre corner outfielders who aren't giving you any pop. But not every second baseman can be Jose Altuve.
That's right. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You can just have I'm doing finger quotes. You can just have a guy at second and be okay.
And I think at this point, the way he's playing, he's better than a guy.
But even if he can just be a big league guy, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice asset.
We came into the season looking at the pitching staff, and I feel like we kind of agreed that if things worked out, you know, if a lot of things kind of came up our way, that it could be a pretty decent staff. Through 2 weeks of the year, things have kind of worked out just right. Mike Fiers was a guy that was maligned in some parts of the internet, but you were always right there behind him. How good does it feel to have him repay your faith?
I lambasted. I destroyed Mike Fiers, and I poo-pooed him excessively. And people were kind of on me about it when he had a tremendous outing. Now, one outing does not a season make,
friends. I don't think you understand how the internet works.
But I'm prepared to eat a little crow. I'm happy. See, I never do this because I'm usually a sunshiner. So usually I'm like building guys up and then they suck and I'm like, oh yeah, I was wrong. But it's kind of weird to poo-poo somebody because it's like happy, but yet I'm stupid. Like, say I'm a happy stupid. So that's unique for me.
Yeah, I think it was incredibly important for him to have that strong debut. You know, we get on players' backs. Tiger's Twitter gets on players' backs, especially with the way Norris was putting pressure on him, you know, based on his one relief outing. He absolutely needed to come out and look respectable. I think the majority of us were ready to kind of declare him, you know, the next Mike Pelfrey before he even stepped on a major league mound. But it's nice to see that he healed up. Jim Price was talking about it. It is much easier to pitch without back issues, which that makes sense to me. The comparison that I saw in watching his stuff was Fister. Everything moved a little bit. He had that swing back going, the changeup.
Not super overpowering.
No, absolutely. I mean, Fister, what? He would touch 92, 93. Fiers is maybe a little lower than that. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of good starts out of Doug Fister. If we can get if we can get a season out of Mike Fiers doing even vaguely similar things, that'll be a win.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and if he's competent, he's getting flipped at the deadline.
Yeah. So how many starts does he make before you jump on board? I'm imagining one probably doesn't change your mind entirely.
Four.
Okay. Now how does that track with he's you know notoriously streaky over the course of his career?
I'll get back on the Fiers train. It's fine. I just looking at his track record over the last 3 years, it's not an upward trend. That's kind of what I and then a bad spring and I'm just not feeling Fiers. And yeah, maybe he figured it out and his back's healthy and it's all good, but give me a couple more starts before you bury my hot Fiers take.
I think you're discounting the Bosio effect, the Bosio magic.
Oh, geez. Boz. Did you see him come and do a mound visit? And that was, you know, that was the most leisurely stroll I've ever seen. I mean, Gene Lamont would be proud of how leisurely Boz went out there. He was in no rush. And they're trying to attribute it to his, what was it, back or knee or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I'm just like, oh, come on. He's milking this for all it's worth.
You only get six of them. You gotta soak up that face time where you can.
I loved it.
I think it's interesting that they put the six, you know, mound visit limit. Have you seen any games even come remotely close to that, at least early?
No. I think the White Sox in one game maybe used four.
I feel like we complain about this every week, but the pace of play rules in baseball are so stupid. I hate them.
You know what we saw tonight in tonight's game that would increase the pace of play is just calling more strikes, yes. Enlarging the strike zone a little bit.
It certainly worked tonight.
Yeah, I think it was Joe West maybe behind the plate, and Kluber was getting that low and away, like breaking stuff, and it's unhittable. And if he's getting that for a strike, I mean, the game is going to clip right along.
Yeah, and
not to our benefit either. No.
It was to Liriano's benefit a little bit too, though.
Oh, for sure.
Liriano was able to live on the corners a little more than maybe he was used to.
For sure. So, but it made the game go fast.
Yeah.
For sure.
So after years and years of garbage bullpens, naturally this year the pen has started out lights out. I did some research, as the kids say. Since opening day, the bullpen has given up a total of one run while protecting leads. It was Alex Wilson. Now obviously they haven't we haven't had leads in every game, but still, that's pretty impressive. Stumpf and Joe Jimenez are now combined for 11 scoreless appearances to start the year. Wow. This feels like a bullpen that's actually built to last.
Jimenez is the cream that has risen to the top of the setup role, wouldn't you say, for sure?
I would, yeah.
I mean, he's using that and then mixing in Stumpf where it's like situationally appropriate. And Joe has been good.
Yeah.
I mean, all the promise that we've thought about and seen. Now, it appears to be he's living in that 93 to 94, 90, maybe 95 range. He's not living 98, 99. And I hate to use your favorite go-to default reference, but maybe it's Boz saying, hey, it looks like he's getting a little bit more movement, a little more action. I don't know. Maybe that's all. But I'm just talking fastball now. I mean, the slider is still good if he can locate it, and the slider's been better.
He actively has GarageBand open right and now as we speak, clipping this clip so that he can put it on his Twitter.
Me and Hall text back and forth all the time whenever Jimenez is like doing his own PR work. No one loves Jimenez as much as Jimenez.
Yeah, no one is going to build the brand for you. You got to do that for yourself. So obviously, like you said, Shane Green, he's had some mixed results, but there's no question Shane Green is a very good relief pitcher.
He can be good.
Between him, Joe, and Stumpf, and obviously I still love Verhagen.
Verhagen had a good outing tonight.
Verhagen looked great tonight, but I would say that. That is a good and controllable back end of the bullpen. I was very much on the Shane Green, let's move him at the deadline, let's get our Candelario and Paredes again. I think there's something to hanging on to him at this point. When we're good again, we're going to need a bullpen that doesn't suck. If we have these three guys in it, that is a very good start to a bullpen. And, you know, your boy Stumpf, you know, he hasn't gotten it done as sexily as Joe has, but he's been very good. How much do you credit Rick Anderson as the bullpen coach?
Oh, you know, I know all about Rick Anderson and every move he makes, and it's all very brilliant, you know, but who knows?
I do.
Now, my question is, does Verhagen look like the boyfriend in the distracted boyfriend meme?
Yeah, he definitely does. When you said that, it clicked in my mind. I'm like, oh, yeah, how did I not notice that?
That's who it is.
Yeah. So the last little bit I want to get to here is my boy, the van man himself, Daniel Norris. I actually probably could have thrown this in the bullpen discussion, but I have it under a different heading. It's just been the one appearance, 3 1/3, one hit, one earned run, two walks, but the six strikeouts. And for me watching that, it was a little bit more than just the numbers. Like, he visually looked different on the mound to me. Like, he looked a little more confident, a little bit more assured. And obviously the stuff was fantastic. It was a proper eggplant emoji moment for me. Have you seen enough to get back on the Norris hype train?
He pitched really good. I mean, he still looks a little hyper to me on the mound. You could call that energetic or powerful, but it's kind of almost like a little jumpy. Yeah, he's got a lot of energy. It got a little late in the year before we used him, right? So you kind of like we're kind of like this pseudo stretched out conundrum for him. It's perplexing what we're going to do with this dude, isn't it? I mean, there's no easy answer.
I thought Hookslide had a really interesting tweet. So obviously we sent down Warwick Saupold, and now Norse is kind of the long man. And that immediately made me wonder, is he going to get enough reps to kind of make this work? Because the one thing you can't have is him not pitching. But this is Hookslide's tweet. He said, this is the area where he'll be watching and evaluating Gardenhire. Not his willingness to use advanced metrics, but can he make good on promises like this? And he's referring to the promise of, Norris getting enough work as a long man to make it worth him being there, and get the kids the reps they need in order to really develop. I think he can. Let's find out. I mean, like Norris himself said, I don't know exactly what Toledo, provides for him. The issues are all mental. How can he deal with failure, with, runners on? And, he's going to do pretty well down there. He needs to be up here facing the big hitters. I mean, I guess as long as they can get him on the mound, obviously he's not going to be every fifth day for, six innings. But I do think that this is probably the best course of action for him at the moment.
I suppose there's two ways to handle kind of mental issues. And that is, give the structure and predictability a guy needs. So it's like clockwork, dink, dink, dink. You know exactly. The other thing to try is just like, hey, we're just going to use him however, put him in 100 different situations. And when he's tried a different 100 different things, he's just going to be familiar with it and not worry about it.
See what sticks. Yeah.
So that seems to be the approach. Like, we're just going to use him and see once where it shakes out.
Yeah, and we're a better team, without doubt, with him on the major league roster in whatever role. Obviously, it's too early to give up on him as a starter, but I do think that he profiles as an Andrew Miller type if we if we determine to go that route.
He should not be a bullpen piece.
No, absolutely.
I mean, I think everybody kind of agrees. I mean, the Tigers agree with that. Analysts or whatever. The predicament is there's not a clear spot for him right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Boyd's good. He's been good. Fires was serviceable. Doing, he looks strong. There's not a place for him.
Yet. The thing is give us a month and I would be very surprised if all five of those starters were still healthy and firing.
Right. And that's one of these situations where you're preparing for an eventuality that is not immediately apparent.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but fans tend to get a little testy about it.
Yeah, they're going to be yelling about it, but I do think that it's fine. So we've run down all of the good things that are happening. I have one question left for you, and that is, of course, is, are we for real with a Z at the end of reels?
No. I mean, if for real you mean maybe having a 500 record for the first month of the season, okay, maybe. I'd be stunned if we carried a 500 record that long.
I agree. I definitely agree.
So that means to me that does not count as for reals with a Z.
Yeah, I come down the same way. I wasn't sure if you're wanting to get all fiery and go for it, but no, I'm not ready to say that we're for reals with a Z either.
Our excitement is mostly emotional and not wagering based. We're not prepared. I'm not prepared to plunk some money down.
No.
At the casino on the Tigers.
No, I am excited to see. This is just kind of out of nowhere, but I'm excited to see Boyd tomorrow against a real Cleveland lineup. Obviously, they've started the year slowly, but that's obviously still a very good hitting team. I will be excited to watch that. So we're now 2 weeks into the year, and we've had both. So we've been able to have a direct comparison. Some people like one, some people like the other. Eric, where do you fall in the great Rod Allen versus Kirk Gibson, Gibby, as they call him, debate as far as being the color guy on Fox Sports Detroit?
So, I mean, I'm seeing complaints out of both camps, right? A lot of people don't like Rod. They think he's kind of inane and predictable and catchphrases. And a lot of people don't like Gibby, mostly around the stylistic kind of aspects of his announcing. Now, we have to say that Kirk Gibson has been fighting against Parkinson's disease. And I think that's maybe an aspect of some of that. So we don't want to be disrespectful to him and what he's facing. And I wonder if some of the stylistic elements come out of that. I've seen a growing discontent with Gibby. And so for me, the stylistic and kind of manner of speech things aren't as important. What kind of bugs me about Gibby is he'll make some reference or like kind of what appears to be a joke, and nobody is really connecting with what it is he's talking about. Like Mario isn't quite getting it, or Keating isn't quite getting it. And you as the audience are like, okay, what does he mean? Where is he going with this? And sometimes it resolves and sometimes it kind of doesn't. So I don't know. Gibby is probably more insightful and technical.
Do you think?
But yeah, I think probably maybe. But I still kind of prefer Rod. I mean, just the tempo and the pace of the commentary feels better with Rod to me.
Yeah, Rod's more conversational. Whereas with Gibby, he's... I would go as far as say that he's awkward to interact with. I feel like he's kind of that strange uncle that you never want to get cornered by. Like that you'll have to break out your fake laugh all the time when you're with him. Yep. Like I'm sure there are people out there who maybe get his sense of humor, like and that Gibby's their guy, but that isn't me. I feel like he's never willing to get beneath the surface. Like I feel like he is purely observational. He tells you what he sees, but there's no intent on getting beyond that, the why, the what this means. Like there's not much in the way of actual analysis. And I'm not saying that Rod has that either. But
I mean, I've enjoyed Gibby on a couple times where he was talking about like relaying signs. He kind of knows some of the inside workings of that a little bit. But yeah, I mean,
I feel like more often than not, he's not actually saying anything.
Right. Most of my beefs with Gibby are stylistic and not necessarily content related. Yeah. And most of my stuff with Rod is not stylistic. It's mostly content related because he goes back to the same well that he has. Now, I will say this. These guys are doing a ton of games. And we, as super invested fans, watch a ton of games. I think more casual fans, like if they see Rod a dozen times throughout the year, it doesn't strike them as repetitive at all.
Yeah, and it's like the commercials. You know, if you've seen AmericanMetalRoofs.com, you know, six times, you're like, oh, that's a catchy song. I mean, obviously, yeah. I still love it, but most people find that to get a bit, you know.
My family is annoyed by the Euro commercials, Arby's.
I hate all Arby's commercials. Don't even get me started there.
They have the meats, Jordan.
I'm well aware that they have the meats. I don't know how that campaign has lasted, what, 3-4 years? Somebody in that Arby's marketing department needs to be fired. And then replace with me. Yeah.
Gotta move your meat.
All you ever see is Arby's stores closing. I'm just burning down Arby's at this point. But I feel like just looking back on what I did, I feel like I phrased my question to you incorrectly. I feel like there's very few people who actually are in a camp one way or the other. I feel like very few people are like, yeah, I really like Rod, or yeah, I really like Mario. It's more that they just can't stand the other one, which I think is
Which
I think is interesting.
It's like modern politics, you know. You always just it's negative against the other guy, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout.
36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Look, why don't we go ahead and get to your beef of the week?
Beef of the week. I've experienced extra drama and turmoil. I recently got a new computer. And I had to reset my phone recently. So I'm going through the process of trying to like download new apps and log into websites that I haven't been at in a while. And so you're constantly facing the double blank fields of death where they're like username and password. And, you know, I look at it and I blink twice and I'm like, I have no idea. And then I try the first half dozen ones that I sometimes use, and none of those work. There has to be a better way to like use websites and applications. You're not supposed to write them down. And even if you did write them down, how are you going to find the little piece of paper? You don't know where it is. You're going to keep a notebook on you at all times. Not this guy. Not this guy. And then, okay, you're going to use a second program to like keep the passwords for all the other programs. What if you forget that password? Now you're using two programs, and then every website's different, and what they require. Got to have a capital letter. Got to have a special character. You can't. Got to have eight characters. I can't remember all this.
I think that's my big beef here is that passwords in general, you should be able to have, you know, the slashes, the characters, so that if you want, you can have the same one on every single thing. Like there's some that you can't have a character. There's some that you have to have. Just have it all be the same.
I mean, I'm not carrying any state secrets. Okay, if Russia got into my Netflix account, okay, yeah, maybe you can figure out. Like, I like to watch documentaries. Oh no, Boris has that information now. Like, it's whatever. There's got to be like some in between two-factor authentication and nothing.
Well, if you
I just want to see get my account.
If you believe the Apple app, soon you'll just have to look at everything and it'll open. Have you seen that commercial?
Yeah, but even that, like,
oh. My big complaint with that commercial is, why is the girl wearing overalls? Do people wear overalls out? Is that a thing?
Train conductors do, I imagine.
Yeah, but I feel like train conductors kind of have their own separate wardrobe.
Like the guy on Choo Choo Soul. I mean, the conductor.
Okay, Gibby, you're going to have to explain that one to us.
No, it's just a stupid kids show where the guy wears overalls. It's all it is.
It sounds great.
He's basically like a big muscular guy like Vin Diesel, and he's the train conductor who sings with like and dances around with a Choo Choo Soul lady. I shouldn't have brought it up. That's a stupid reference. Let me conclude my beef. Passwords are impossible to remember, and modern technology is maddening. That's beef of the week.
That was great. It was moving. So I saw nothing on the side of the road while running this past week. So I came up with a little bit of a game for you. Are you okay with that?
I'm strapped in, ready to rock.
So here's what I did. I picked a player from Tiger's past. I pulled seven clues about him from his Wikipedia page, and let's see, I will read them from most general clue to most specific clue. Stop me when you know who this player is, or just I'll give you a guess after each clue.
All right, go.
In 2001, he led all major league shortstops in errors with 26.
In what year?
2001.
Devi Cruz.
No. He won the World Series in 2003. Not with the Tigers.
Don't know.
was traded in 2010 for Yunel Escobar and Major League Baseball legend JoJo Reyes. Not of KC and JoJo, just to be clear.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Damien Easley.
No.
I don't know.
He did not survive April in the D and was released on April 20th.
He played for us in 2002?
No. He led all major league shortstops and errors in 2001.
In 2001?
Yes.
So he played for us later?
Yes.
And he was traded in 2010?
Yes. Not to us, though. These are just facts from his
Guillen. Carlos Guillen.
No. His nickname was Seabass.
Oh, no, I don't know. Sebastian, I was going to say Sebastian Janikowski, but it doesn't make any sense.
It's a different sport. Okay.
His nickname was Seabass, though.
Everyone at home, I'm sure, has it by now. Here are the last two. You should be able to get it from either of these. We acquired him for Steve Lombardozzi.
Oh, my gosh. Steve, Alex Gonzalez?
Alex Gonzalez. That's a winner.
Holy balls, dude. That's way too obscure. Alex Gonzalez. I'd almost forgotten about him.
So this is, and the final clue was in his only opening day with the Tigers, he hit a game-tying RBI triple in the seventh and a walk-off single in the ninth. So I don't know.
Is it weird that the Lombardozzi clue gave it away for me that I knew it?
No, I think that's great. So I'm sure you're going to find this difficult to believe, but this guy was on the Alex Gonzalez train when we traded for him. Everyone's all
you
like
– were...
I think that was before this show. And
good
when I say
thing.
I
you would have embarrassed yourself.
But no, everyone's like, oh, we're trading Lombardozzi. He's so good. He's so good. And I'm like, no, he's not. And obviously Alex Gonzalez is not good. But Steve,
correct.
Save it with the Steve Lombardozzi crap.
Yeah, because he had a good spring, if I remember.
Yeah, he was in his day. Alex Gonzalez was not a terrible player. Just we got him several days after his day.
That was fun. Thank you for that, Jordan.
I'll try and see something on the side of the road next week so that we can have one of those.
Okay. Look for Alex Gonzalez alongside the road.
Now that would
probably
be something.
It's probably where he is these days.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Okay, let's get to Twitter questions. If you want to get in touch with us to ask us Twitter questions, you can at any point. Generally, we'll send out a ask for question tweet the day of. But I'm at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. The first one comes in from Nicholas Haller. He says, this isn't a question. This is a statement. Profound statement.
Which I asked for as well. Trust or ridicule or accept as profound.
Gerber is up by the middle of June at least.
Yeah, maybe just because we need an outfielder, somebody gets hurt or something like that. I don't feel like he's we got to get him up, call up.
Yeah, I mean,
who's up first, Kristen Stewart or Gerbs?
I think it depends on what we need. If we need a fourth outfielder replacement, I think Gerbs comes up. If we need somebody to play every day, then I think it'll be Stewart.
And we'll see who plays better, but I think it's even money between Gerber and Stewart.
Yeah, it could go either way. At @Cam_Gerard asks us, which franchises represent the worst case scenario and best case scenario for our rebuild?
Which franchises?
Yeah.
So like models?
As in recent examples.
So I think best case scenario, we're not as deep down as like the Astros were. The Astros were bad for a long time, but maybe like the Cubs, you know, where they were not great for a while, but added a couple good draft picks and made some shrewd moves. Would that be lovely?
That would be what That's I best would say. Case scenario. Because, you know, immediately I think of the White Sox. The White Sox had more usable pieces than we did. I don't think there's many parallels with that one.
You're talking about the 2005 White Sox?
No, I'm talking about the White Sox.
The White Sox right now.
Yeah, and the Yankees to get back to where they're at right now, you know, when they dealt all those pieces and got back Torres and all those guys. Yeah. I don't even see that. But I do think that your Cubs – Cubs comparison probably
that's
is,
best
is
case
spot on. Yeah,
I mean, worst case scenario, we're constantly trying and turning things over and not getting anywhere.
The Marlins,
like, yeah.
At Travis underscore Frazier asks us, citing at PFT commented, what do you think about the idea of positioning the catcher elsewhere on the field with no runners on and less than two strikes?
Are you just going to let the ball hit the ump in the nuts?
Oh, it's an idea. It's innovative.
There's got to be some rule against that.
I would certainly assume that there is a rule against it. But as far as just the logic behind it, it doesn't not
the logic's
make sense.
Pretty sound.
The thing with that, though, is you could just swing and miss, you know, and, you know, pass ball on strike three.
Yes.
So there is an inherent danger.
Or any pitch. I mean, depends on where the catcher is positioned. I mean, if you had him, let's say, you know, kind of in bunt fielding position, so kind of even with a pitcher but on the third baseline. So because you want somebody to get the pop-ups and stuff that are near the plate yet. But, yeah, if he's further back than that, yeah, you just swing and miss and run to first.
Yeah.
On strike three.
Connor Devins asks us, don't look now, but the bullpen has an ERA under four for the first time since 2012. I didn't fact check that, but if that is true, that is astonishing. Or actually do look now, because by the time we play Cleveland, that stat will be very obsolete. I don't know. Cleveland's been in such rough shape right now. I'm not necessarily sure that that is a problem or that that will be a problem. But
we haven't had any bullpen meltdowns per se. I mean, we've had a couple guys kind of stub their toe.
Buck had a little bit of a meltdown.
Yeah, and he was hurt today. I mean, Buck's going to have to.
I was meaning his previous outing when he came
out before.
Yeah, I know. Oh, okay.
So, but I'm just saying, like, Buck's going to have to. He needs to start over again.
That would
be a little mulligan. Just, you know, reboot. It's fine.
Michael Litzner asks us, is having low expectations for the Tigers this year make every win that much sweeter? You were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, a little bit. It does. It for sure does. Instead of, oh, yeah, well, we should win. It's like, oh, a win. That's beautiful.
David Bratz at I'm not going to do his handle. It's very long. He says, for the next podcast, a lot of positive things have happened so far this season. Miggy, Fulmer, bullpen, starting pitching, etc. What won't last and what will? And he also threw in, don't underestimate our global reach. He listens religiously in Dallas. You know, we were talking about the meetup last week. We had several people tweet us that they would be down for the meetup. So stay by your phone. We'll tweet out more details.
Yeah, we shouldn't have poo-pooed.
Apparently not.
No poo-pooing. We got a tweet from a guy from the Netherlands, Holland.
Yeah. Yeah, not
the motherland.
Not your Holland, the real Holland. Yeah. No offense.
Yeah. I mean, that's more real than Holland, Michigan.
Do you follow the Dutch national team? Is that your national team of choice?
Mm, that's my backup. For sure, but they didn't make the cup either.
No,
so I mean, it was kind of a bad alignment of badness because no United States. So who do I root for?
Dude, root for Germany. The Germans play the best, most beautiful football to watch. That's who I'm rooting for. Either them or the French.
I think I'm going to go with one of the Scandinavian countries. Sweden, isn't Sweden make it?
Yeah, Sweden's in there.
I'll probably root for them.
But to answer your question, Miggy and Fulmer, obviously I buy Fulmer. I think this Miggy resurgence is for real. Starting pitching, I think it's going to be what it's going to be. Like, Boyd, I think, can be good. Fires, I think we're going to see
Fires
a bit of a roller
crashing back.
A little bit of a roller coaster from him. Liriano, I kind of buy as what he is. I mean, he has turned into very Liriano starts. Lots of walks, lots of wildness, good stuff. I mean, that's who he is. Bullpen, I think we all know where this bullpen is headed. and he also asked us one more question. This article from Sports Daily refers to Nick as the Greek god of hard contact. Forget the Nick or Nicholas debate. Can we just call him that from now on?
No, isn't that Kevin Euclid?
Oh, yeah,
because he was the Greek god of walks.
Yeah, it's a Moneyball reference. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
I do think it's funny, but no, we probably shouldn't. Adam Langworthy asked us, when will Johnny Cain get his own show on the Food Network? This is such a good question. Obviously,
No, it's not.
No, I could see this. Johnny and I going around the country, him sampling ballpark fare at all the major and minor league parks. I'm still trying
finding
to figure
fans
out
fans to interview.
I'm trying to figure out my role in this show, but I'm sure there is one for me.
Hanger on her.
I could be his hype man.
The flavor, Johnny's personal flavor flave.
I think that's my job.
It's a good job.
At @Jeremy_Troya, the better of the Troyas, asks, why are the Tigers trying to ruin Daniel Norris by having him be a long man / spot start guy instead of a starter? It's like they're trying to mess with his head. I get the Fires pitched decently yesterday, but come on, pitch the kid while we're rebuilding.
Right. Since you got both Lariano and Fires, you have to pitch those guys in a starting role. And Norris is kind of the odd man out. There's no elegant solution to this.
Yeah. And I think that if you take the offseason kind of, if you take a step back, the Fire signing looks like it's a lack of planning. Either that or the Liriano signing was so incredibly opportunistic. Clearly, I don't think Avila went into the offseason thinking, I got to get myself two starting pitchers, two veterans.
Right.
I think that if he could have a do-over on the Fires thing, maybe not after yesterday, but I think that's probably where he would come down.
Well, Fires was one of the first guys signed, and Liriano was, towards the end. So I think that's just kind of how it shook out as far as opportunities goes. I think there could be an argument made that, like you say, we're young, rebuilding. You just give Norris a spot. A veteran be darned. Like, you give him a spot. You let him start all year, regardless of results, and then you reevaluate him in the offseason.
Yeah. I feel the obvious answer.
There's an argument for that.
I feel like I've said this a million times, would be a six-man rotation. You just don't see it very often, but it would save bullets on all those young arms. Instead of throwing 230 innings, Fulmer would be, down closer to 200 or even below. Same with Boyd. I think that makes
Only pride and tradition is preventing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's teams around baseball that are, the Angels are experimenting with a six-man rotation. The Rays are trying a four-man rotation, which seems like a bad idea. Like, it's becoming less of a stigma. I think, I'll tweet at, the Tigers later tonight and let them know that maybe they should go this route.
That really is the most elegant solution. Yeah. It really is. But, yeah, you have to swallow a little bit of pride to do it.
And Gardenhire doesn't exactly strike me as someone who's going to do that.
You get that big baritone. No, you have five-man rotation. That's how it works in baseball. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, inspire a comeback, after falling behind. Yeah, sure, that's his game. But Lawrence Flynn at LFly11 asks us, trading Fulmer, yes or no, is going to be the question until the deadline. But what about trading Castellanos? Does he have any value because of the defense he doesn't play? What would you name the podcast?
So there's a lot of content, a lot of hashtag content there. So I've maintained this. I don't think they're going to trade Fulmer. And I don't think they're going to trade Nick either. Because mostly of the point that they brought up, other teams aren't going to value him super highly because he doesn't play much defense. I mean, JD Martinez is even a tier above Nick. Couldn't we agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, they play similar. I think they probably bring similar things to the plate defensively. And JD got a nice big healthy contract, but not like crazy huge, right? Yeah.
And if you ask Tigers Twitter, he brought us nothing in return. Like, there's nobody in that deal that anyone takes very seriously at all.
JD, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. I believe he has this year and next year to run on his contract before he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? I highly doubt.
Yeah, two more years after this of team control, I think.
Oh, gotcha. Then, yeah, we definitely won't be trading him this year. See where things play out this year, but possibly next year at the deadline. And if we're not good, certainly the year after. Anthony Troia at @_Troia.
What do we call the show? Like, we don't have a master plan. We just call it something else or keep it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you'll probably come up with something regardless because you have that gene.
I came up with another option, but it's slightly PG-13. So maybe, yeah.
Okay, we'll see how the Nick saga transpires.
Yeah, we're going to wait it out.
Call it Jordan Swimmerman. Anthony asks us, the better of the Troyas. So Dixon is – yeah. Oh, sorry. So is Dixon now better than Machado? I'll hang up and listen.
Better than Manny?
Yeah.
No. You know the answer to that. You're just being silly.
I thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Brett Yoder asks us, what do you think Daniel Norris did to Avila to deserve this treatment? Do you think he made fun of his mom?
Okay, we've covered this ground. What do you do with Norris?
They don't know that we've covered this ground. They asked these questions like 4 hours ago. Stop yelling at our listeners.
Sorry. But sorry, listeners.
Here's the thing. He didn't make fun of Avila's mom. He made fun of his kid. That would be the obvious problem.
Right. A lot of interest in Norris. People loving them some Norris.
Yeah, they've always loved Norris. And so they should. Nopes at Nopes on Twitter. He's our Dutch correspondent. Who has the best name, best baseball name in the Tigers organization? And shouldn't they hire Dutch players to move up this very important ranking? He says yes.
Yeah. Tom DeBlock is our token Dutch guy, I think, right now. He's playing
Van Hecken. He will always be the number one Dutchman in my heart.
Dude, he's not really Dutch. He's from Holland, Michigan.
That is the same thing.
Oh, stop it.
Everyone in Holland is from or the original Holland. You know that.
Andy Van Hecken is my age. So I sucked at baseball, but my buddies were on the baseball team. And they played against Andy Van Hecken. And I have a very close friend, and we get a big laugh out of it because he broke up one of Andy Van Hecken's no-hitters in high school. And he was very proud of himself. You know, he got this hit. And in the paper the next day, Andy Van Hecken, you know, masterful, lost his no-hitter on a slicing, wind-aided fly ball that was misplayed by the outfielder. And my buddy is like, come on, that was my hit. And he just got destroyed. So Van Hecken's still playing. I think he's in Asia.
Good for him. I feel like people look so down on people going, you know, guys going to play in Japan and Korea. Can you imagine?
Smart.
Yeah, it's a whole new cultural experience, something that you would never have the chance to do, you know, any other vehicle. I think it's a really good and cool idea.
And you get a chance to make some money.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't hurt either. All right, so let's just do one more.
Oh, best name in the organization. I think we've covered some of this ground. Ulrich Bojarski is number one.
Big boy Bojarski.
Number two,
for sure.
Kedar Aquistaguerra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll take your word for it. And the last one, there are many more. If we didn't answer your question this week, we'll get to them. I tried to pick out the most timely ones to do this week. Bradley Moyer asked us, so Mike Fiers, eh? I think that one's directed at you, actually.
Yeah. I'm cooking up some crow. We have some nice crow kebabs over here.
Shoveling crow just over the shoulder.
Mm, yummy.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. If you want to follow all of my hashtag fire emoji, is that a hashtag or is it just the emoji? Just the emoji. Fire emoji pictures on Instagram at Jordinho4. And once again, we'd love it if you'd take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, do you have anything else to say to listeners before we get out of here for the week?
Just do whatever you can to make the weather better. I'm cold and I'm sick of it. So, you know, just make the weather better, people.
Yeah, we are 9 days into April, and I still have probably this much snow in my front yard.
This is getting a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it sucks. And it's freezing all the time.
And I'm ready to play disc golf again. Can't get out and play disc golf. It's harsh.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.